Welcome to Habitat. This edition features Gretchen Fitzgerald from the Sierra Club Atlantic. I started off our interview by asking her why it is that our provincial government chose to create new regulations to regulate mink farming in Nova Scotia instead of using our current environmental legislation to regulate what happens to our waterways as a result of the industry.
And that's the problem we had from the beginning, and I guess the simple answer is the fact that the province was worried from the beginning that if we try to enforce existing environmental legislation, then this industry couldn't expand as quickly and as the province clearly wants it to. And meeting with officials in the Department of Agriculture through this process, one of them told me he would be happy if every single farmer growing carrots in the province switched to growing mink. That is how much they want to promote this industry. And we've seen over the last couple of years, through this process of them developing an entire new act and an entire new set of regulations for this mink farming industry, that they clearly are in the business of promoting its expansion into different rural areas. So although we've seen intense contamination through a really significant and beautiful watershed in the province, that's only the beginning. So it's not just because it's happening, and I say just in quotation marks, virtual quotation marks, just because it's happened down Southwest Nova far from you, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be concerned. Mink farms are coming to a county near you, and that's what was pretty clear from the beginning. And I think it is pretty shocking that you could have algal blooms happening to the degree that they did. And if you saw pictures of some of these contaminated lakes, you know, they were carpeted with this green algae. That that could happen to such a degree and our environmental legislation would not be enacted to stop it or prevent it in the future. I think it is, Nova Scotians should be pretty shocked, and particularly in the context of some other wonderful things that we've done in the province to protect the environment, and why this particular industry gets its own special legislation and that kind of thing.
Do you have any theories as to why the Department of Agriculture is so interested in promoting this particular industry?
Because unfortunately, and I'm sure your program has done lots of work on the local food movement and how great that is environmentally and for human health and for people in the province. Unfortunately, the value of the mink industry, it's one-third of our exports from the agricultural industry right now. It's one of the sectors that actually is making a lot of money. So, you know, a lot of farmers are making less than minimum wage, you know, themselves and that kind of thing. So unfortunately, this high-end luxury product that isn't for consumption or, you know, to promote human, you know, healthy eating habits or anything like that, it is one that brings dollars into the province. And it's, the province has shown, I think, over the last few years that it is very much focused on that aspect. And I would have loved to see them try to work more closely with farmers on how to make local food, and particularly organic food, of course, more sustainable for them, rather than focusing on this particular industry. But that's basically their justification. They think it's jobs in rural areas. And I think what's misleading about that is, and I've just got off the phone actually with someone from the Yarmouth area, just, you know, why is it okay, even for the sake of jobs, for your neighbors to be able to pollute your watershed? And, you know, one of the people I know down there, she can't have her grandchildren come to visit and swim in her lake anymore. Like, she's had to build herself a pool for her grandkids to swim because she's so worried of the contamination. Like, why is that fair to allow people to be bad neighbors in that way? I don't think that's very supportive of rural communities either.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me, I guess, when this first came to light, the problems with the mink farming industry in Nova Scotia, I was surprised to find out that the Department of Agriculture played sort of the lead role with this industry. I guess because I just think of I think of agriculture as a food based sort of thing, and and this is a fur farming industry. Is that an issue for you that the Department of Agriculture is the one that's regulating this industry?
It's an issue, and maybe not so much for the reason, you know, how you're thinking of. About it, it's an issue for me for conflict of interest mostly.
Okay.
So if you do have a department that is actively promoting and subsidizing and you know, working very closely with an industry, then probably that department is going to, you know, has officials that says things to me like everybody should be raising mink instead of growing carrots, you know, and funded studies and done all the things that they've done. They probably shouldn't be in the regulatory business for that industry. So, and I think environment, so they're in a conflict of interest position. Then also, in addition, do they have the capacity to do this? I think, to me, the obvious place where this capacity and knowledge about watersheds would be housed in the government would be in the Department of Environment. So, I think, you know, for two reasons, it's a problem for me.
How did the Ecology Action Center and Sierra Club first learn about the issues with the mink farming industry in Nova Scotia?
Literally because people were calling us. Members of Sierra Club were calling me, and same for Ecology Action Center, I'm sure they're members, and people in the local community, and it literally was, can you please, you know, what is there that can be used to help in this situation? And obviously, as environmental organizations who are, you know, both concerned about obviously sustainable community development, both of our organizations are, in Nova Scotia, like, we went first to the Environment Act and said, well, there's a lot in there that could be applied to this industry. And it has been extremely frustrating to see, and demoralizing, actually, to see the faith and the hard work and the passion that these people put into their participation in this process, in many ways not have the impact that it should have. Like, if, you know, it'd be hard to find people more concerned about their watersheds and about, you know, their communities than the folks that we've been dealing with, and to see how little these regulations have actually implemented some of the reasonable suggestions that they made is I mean, I think it's really made them lose faith a lot in our leaders.
Now, about the act that the regulations that the province is bringing in, can you talk about what some of the key weaknesses are that you see in those regulations?
Okay. Again, it's really difficult to know how to start. I guess some of the key things would be this long period that existing farms that, again, are having huge impacts on watersheds now, they have 3 years and potentially even 6 years before even any of these loose regulations apply to them. So that's a pretty big window for, like I say, an industry that has been shown through scientific study to be polluting watersheds quite extensively. So that's a pretty big luxury window, and I think that's unacceptable. If I was a homeowner down there, okay, so I have to deal with this at least for 3 to 6 more. You know, some of these farms are not even going to have to meet these standards. So nothing in the regs really kind of meets that, oh my gosh, this sense of urgency. And then some of the limits for what's allowed to be in the surface water running off of the farms are too high. So the reason algal blooms happen is because of high levels of nutrients coming off the farms. So some of the levels that we had suggested to be acceptable coming off the farms, in particular phosphorus, it was actually double what what we think it would be correct. And for E. coli coming off the farms, that's also too high. We suggested the Canadian Drinking Water Guidelines be followed, and that's not what's happened. So there's specifics in the water monitoring that's a problem. Again, going back to the issue of capacity to actually enforce and monitor the industry, the regulations create one single inspector that's going to be doing monitoring.
So the province will hire one person to sort of oversee these regulations?
To be doing it, and we don't think that's going to be adequate.
How many farms are we talking about?
Well, that we know of in 2010, about 100. And then in Annapolis in the last few months or so, there are 40 licenses kind of waiting in the wings for approval.
Gosh,
so like
that's
I say,
a lot.
Yeah, this industry is growing, and a government has written a report saying that Annapolis can support 5.4 million mink, or can support the manure of 5.4 million mink. So, like, this is expanding. Yeah, this is an industry that's being given a lot of green lights, and and it's expanding. So, and I guess another thing that had been a cause for concern was the disposal of mink carcasses on farms, and we had wanted at least they should go to a correct approved disposal site, but instead the regulations do allow people to compost or do something with them on the farm, which is a huge source of nutrients, those degrading carcasses.
You would want the regulations to require that they get sent to an approved waste disposal site?
Yeah, because of the scale of this industry and the number of animals that we're talking about, like, why wouldn't you require that to happen? And instead, they've given them this loophole again. Just to continue on, previous drafts of the regulation said that the runoff from the mink farms wouldn't be allowed to contaminate adjacent watersheds, and that kind of clause is gone. So it's sort of, there used to be sort of a preventative sort of statement in there about what runoff could come off of the farm, and that statement is completely deleted from what we can see. They're not obliged to monitor their groundwater. They can be asked to, but they're not obliged to. And again, where the government has shown they're quite permissive of the industry and want it to grow, we're not really reassured that this will be required as much as it should be. And in community meetings down in Yarmouth, I've had, there have been folks who stood up and said, you know, we have a lot of concerns as property owners. We're not sure if our wells are contaminated or not. And we tried to sell our property and we couldn't because possible contamination. So again, like, why wouldn't you want them to monitor groundwater for potential contamination? And air quality monitoring, which was supposed to be part of any kind of monitoring program that was in the act that was created. That there's no requirement for air quality monitoring at all. And odor from these farms is a serious concern to adjacent property owners, for sure. I guess my last point that I'll say, and, you know, we do have a lot of other problems, but the discretion of the government to exempt operators from any requirement, including having a management plan for their farm, like, is a pretty big power of the administrator. And why would you want to give yourself that leeway when you're serious about regulating an industry? Is a big problem for us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess in particular because I guess the administrator at this point would be part of the Department of Agriculture, and as you mentioned, they are both the promoter and the regulator.
Yeah, and I mean, if I've seen good environmental legislation established and it says the minister must do this, the minister will make it this, you know, why wouldn't you want that to happen if you really are serious about protecting water and communities from pollution? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to say, at least I'm obligated as a leader to have these farms have a management plan that has certain criteria to protect the water? I just don't understand why you would want to say, I cannot require this if I feel, for whatever reason, motives unknown. So,
Now, we've been covering, you know, for a while now on Habitat, the changes to the federal or to all sorts of federal laws that are basically amounting to the ending of federal environmental assessments for most things that happen in Nova Scotia. Would mink farming, would any of these projects be subject to, would they have been, you know, under the previous sort of regime, would they have been subject to any sort of environmental assessment at all? Or can these farms just happen without sort of that level of consultation?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and we did try to pursue that. And actually, even under existing changes, degraded, not specifically assessment, but Fisheries Act, even the degraded version that we have now after the last budget bill, would still apply because these farms are degrading fish habitat, and that's, you know, and now even the habitat they're degrading would still meet the criteria of, you know, that the new government has made for fish that actually count in Canada. Mm-hmm. So the federal government has not stepped up on this issue. It wouldn't trigger an assessment, in my understanding, but at least it should have triggered some version of some sanction and some requirement for cleanup. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I don't understand why the federal government, either through Environment Canada or through the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, hasn't taken action on this, aside from the fact that probably they didn't want to step on the province's toes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably lack of capacity themselves, mm-hmm, because of what's been happening federally.
So the situation is that, you know, we've had this industry growing for about 6 years now with, you know, and no one has been enforcing, you know, our current environmental legislation on the industry. And now the province has created some regulations specific to this industry. But what you're saying, what you're describing, is that the regulations themselves that they've created are far too weak.
They're too weak. And I don't think they will significantly change the risk level to our watersheds.
Right.
And I think now it's at the feet of the Environment Minister, because we're not going to stop. We are going to continue to ask the Environment Minister to enforce environmental regulations and laws, and then also municipalities. So I know municipalities that have been asked to approve leases and stuff for fur farms like Annapolis. They've been kind of waiting for these regulations to come down to look at their own bylaws and that kind of thing to see what they can do. So now it really is also in their court as well to try and establish at least some rules that will protect their water and protect their communities, so that you don't have huge densities of farms that will either deter other types of development because adjacent property owners don't have good quality of life, or because the watershed is contaminated. So, you know, I guess what we're asking is for new municipal leaders also to take a look at this and think of ways through setback regulations and potentially limiting the number of mink farm licenses they allow to go ahead based on quality of life and health considerations for their citizens, to be on alert for that. So, to be continued. To be continued. And I see that the mink industry itself is saying that it can't, these regulations are going to be hurting their ability to operate. And they're saying in the Chronicle Herald today they might, you know, some farms might have to shut down because of that. And if that is the case and they can't make even these minimal requirements, then I'm I guess I don't know why the permits were approved in the first place. Obviously we've had too much growth in this industry, you know, that's been unregulated, and then also if they can't even meet these minimum things, and then I guess I do worry that that's industry code for wanting more subsidies from government.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be watching for that as well. And again, why aren't we focusing more on local food? Why aren't we focusing on more things that actually will help create a healthier population in Nova Scotia and also a healthier environment. Mm.
Yeah. How do you suggest people find out more information about this issue?
That actually is quite difficult. I guess definitely they should watch the Department of Agriculture's website. So they do have a page on the Fur Industry Act and the new regulations and their position on it. So that's always good to know. And I guess watch our website. I'll be posting a letter from a local community member soon. So that's atlantic.sierraclub.ca. And if you're looking for a fun video, you can Google Mink Stink Yarmouth County. It's kind of a cute video online you can watch as well. So, and then there's actually a cool community paper down the South Shore run by Tim Gillespie and some other people. And it's called, I don't want to get the name wrong, South Shore, South Coast Today. And he runs a really quite a few stories on this issue just because it's such a hot issue down that way. So I would, and it's called Community News Matters, so southcoasttoday.ca. So I'd encourage people to follow that as well.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to tell us about this today, Gretchen.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for your interest. And if anybody wants to get more involved, please contact me at Sierra Club.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.